Good morning, everybody. Great to have you at church today. How's everybody doing? How's everybody doing? It's always better the second time. Well, today we start a two-week series on heaven, hell, and the hereafter. How many want to go to heaven? Yeah, we all want to go to heaven, and we want to drag as many people with us. We want to overpopulate heaven and underpopulate hell. Amen? And that's one of the reasons we went to Portugal here this last week. Many of you have been praying for us. And we had a team that traveled to Portugal. I left last Sunday and got back Friday night. And we traveled with missionary Dan Taylor around Portugal from Lisbon north all the way over to the east and down south and back around to Lisbon. And friends, there's an incredible opportunity that BCA has to make a huge difference for God and for good, working with our missionary in Portugal. You get to the east side of the country, and there's extraordinary poverty, great discouragement. In fact, it's said that parts of Portugal are the highest per capita of depression and suicide in all of Europe. And I could see it. I could feel it. It was palpable. And we got to meet so many pastors, visit so many churches, and they're working their tails off. But they all, to the person, said, would you please come? Would you bring teams? We need your help. We need the blessing of God to be a part of what we're doing here in Portugal. So we're getting ready to ramp up a team to go next spring. If you'd like to be a part of that, make sure you fill that out on the connection card, or better yet, get online. Let us know of your interest. But one of the things that I was totally unaware of is you know, the needs that our missionary Dan and Danita Taylor have. And before I share that need, I want you to watch just a brief greeting from them so you can get just a little bit acquainted. Let's watch.
Hi, BCA. We're Dan and Danita Taylor, serving in Portugal, and we want to say thank you.
BCA has been a part of my life longer than you might think. When I was 6 years old, my family and I went to the mission field. And BCA not only supported our family, but the women's ministries also took a special interest in my siblings and I, giving us gifts at our birthdays and Christmas, sending letters, having special events for us when we were in the United States. Those things, that love and concern, was a huge blessing in our lives.
Now, all these years later, BCA, you're still involved in our family. Myself, Danita, and our four girls, as we minister in Portugal, you are a part of it all. We mentor students. We are part of training them for ministry. We're involved in raising a church up for missions themselves, going out as a church. All of those things and so much more you're a part of. So we want to say thank you. God bless you and keep it.
These are incredible missionaries, and we just appreciate so much all that they're doing for the cause of Christ. Let's go back to that picture of the last one there where we're praying. You see some of the pastors there that, you know, are just really crying out to God for their country. And the Taylors are right in the middle of that. And I came back with a fresh realization that one of the reasons we went to Portugal was to minister to Dan Taylor and learn a little bit of their need. The Taylors are in what I would consider a code red status. They've lost $3,000 of their monthly support, $2,000 to attrition. Some churches just had to bail. And $1,000 increase in their monthly stipend is required. And so they're at a very difficult state. You can kind of imagine $3,000 a month carrying that forward. I mean, they're below water every single month. And I assured them that I would share this need with our church family, and we would do everything we possibly could. Well, since that time, someone has stepped up and pledged $10,000 as a matching gift. And I want to challenge you, BCA, to prayerfully consider giving to the Taylor family. If you give $100, it's $200. If you give $500, it's $1,000. If you give $1,000, it's $2,000. We have a matching gift of $10,000 already, and we hope to raise $20,000. Our missions advisory team is going to meet and try to increase our monthly commitment. But these are incredible missionaries. They're doing the work of God in a very needy environment, and we could encourage them greatly and keep them on the field if we step up and do something extraordinary like that. How many will think about it and pray about it? Supporting the Taylors, would you do that? And if you give, you can give online. You can go to the app even right now. Make sure you put in the memo line, Taylors or Missionary in Portugal, whatever you could remember, so we know that that's the intention of your gift. I encourage you to pray about it. I also want to say one more thing, totally different subject. We have on June the 2nd our fifth year anniversary of the Bethany Compassion Center, and we are taking on that day a $50,000 one-day wage offering. I want you to just be remembering that. You say, Rob, how can we do all of this? $20,000 for Portugal, $50,000 to care for our community. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how we're going to do that, except I know that God wants us to be generous. Would you agree with that? God wants us to be generous. I could stand up here before you and say, hey, we need more money for another staff person. We need more money for this or that for our own selves right here. But God has called us to be a generous church, and we want to reach around the world and impact people for Christ while there's still time. And we also want to impact and shower our community with love. So I think you believe like I do. It's great to be a part of a church that is caring and compassionate and wants to make a difference literally around the world. With that said, let's talk about heaven. How many want to go to heaven? You know, I came back and stayed awake for 30 hours. I waited for a plane for 5 hours in Lisbon, another 6 hours in Amsterdam. I got a lot of reading done. I got a lot of work done, but I didn't get any sleep done. Right now, I'm not sure who I am. I'm not sure who you are. I'm not sure where I am, but I know where I'm going, and I'm going to heaven one day because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Can you say amen? Because Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, we have the hope of everlasting life. So let's dive in. What are four things we need to know about the end of time? If I could get $100 for every time someone has come up to me and tried to predict the end times, I would be able to pay off the $20,000 for Portugal, the $50,000 one day's wage, the debt on our building. Man, I could solve world hunger and pay off the national debt. Everybody has an idea how it's going to go. But the Bible says we don't know the day or the time. But we do know some things. And I want to talk about four things we need to know. The first is this: sleeping is both natural and tragic. What's it say in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14? Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you will not grieve like the rest of mankind and have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. In Scripture, sleeping has two meanings. It has to do with death. How many know we're all going to die one day? In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to die one day, with a smile. Say that with a smile. You're going to die one. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. But if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's a gateway into heaven. We breathe our last breath on earth, and we breathe our next breath, generally speaking, in heaven. But sleeping also refers to those who are dead spiritually. And both are contained in this passage we're studying here today. So you got to look closely to make sure you understand the context. Death is natural. We're all going to die. Death is tragic. People can be asleep spiritually. The idea of the second coming caused a lot of Christians in Paul's day to be very worried. What if I die before Jesus comes back again? And Paul said, as he states in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not even death, he says. So if you die knowing Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are going to spend eternity in heaven one day because of your faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ, it's not the same story. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. Jesus died and rose again. That's what he talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter. Jesus rose again. Because he rose, we too will rise. You get that connection there? Because Jesus came forth from death and rose from the grave, we one day will rise from death and we will rise to live with Jesus forever in eternity. So Paul is using one metaphor to drive home two central truths. You will fall asleep, but if you do as a Christian, you'll go to heaven. But make sure you're not asleep spiritually and ignore what God is doing in your life. If you look at the passage here, there's several verses that talk about sleep. Verse 13 is talking about falling asleep as a Christian. Same with 14, 15, and 16. These are folks who have fallen asleep in Christ. They've died, but they had faith in the Lord. If you go to chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, these are passages that talk about being asleep spiritually. So you're not awake spiritually, you're asleep. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. And that, of course, is so dangerous. Verse 10 scholars say, could relate to both or either. There's kind of differences of opinion there. Just as it's irresponsible for a guard who's serving as a sentinel over something to fall asleep, so is it irresponsible for you and me to fall asleep and not be ready to go to heaven. We may all want to go to heaven, but we need to be ready. We need to have committed our life to Christ. We need to receive his forgiveness if we want to make it to heaven. I read something from a driver instructor where they said, the common characteristic of drowsy driving crashes is there's no skid marks at the scene. Unaware, unprepared, unawake. It's one thing when you're driving. That's terrible and tragic. It's altogether another thing if we're talking about spiritual death, because we're unaware, unprepared, unawake spiritually. We have not committed a life to Jesus Christ. So while sleeping is natural, the key is your spiritual condition when you die. When you die. If you were to die right now, are you ready to go to heaven? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? How about your family? How about your loved ones? Is there anybody in your sphere that you need to pray harder and harder for because they don't yet know Jesus? Portugal is full of people that need Jesus. So is our community. And that's why we got to double our efforts to reach out as far and wide as we possibly can to children, youth, and adults. Time is short. Jesus could come right now. Would you have been ready? He could come tomorrow. He could come next week. What is your spiritual condition? Well, I rely on my past faith. I accepted Christ a long time ago, and, you know, I'm just kind of counting on that. You need to be vigilant and diligent today. You need to be on your spiritual game right now. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be in prayer. You need to be faithful. You need to be living for Jesus Christ. Well, I'll commit my life tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, let alone next week or next month. I'm going to rely on my own goodness to get to heaven, my own awesomeness, my own beauty. You are not good enough, you're not awesome enough, and you're not pretty enough. You need Jesus. The Bible says there's only one way to get to heaven, Acts 4:12, and that is Jesus Christ. I'm going to rely on my parents' faith. Doesn't cut it. You need to know Jesus yourself. You need to know, every individual. If you're here today and you have not yet committed your life to Christ, I want you to pray a prayer right now in the middle of the sermon. Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins. I want to go to heaven one day. And if you do, I want you to tell me about it by taking that connection card that's right in front of you, or if you're watching online, fill that out. I want you to drop it in the black box as you leave, or fill it out online, and I want you to let us know. I want to be praying for you. The second thing that we need to know is that timing is both predictable and unpredictable. Look at verse 15 through chapter 5, verse 1. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we also who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we need not write to you. We don't know the times or the dates. We just know that it's going to happen. I mean, just think about this for a moment. There's a lot we don't know about the end times, as in we don't know when it's going to happen. But there's a lot we do know. In fact, look at this list on the screen. These are a lot of things that the Bible talks about. The second coming, the judgment seat of Christ, Satan cast in the lake of fire, rapture, tribulation, new heavens, new earth, great white throne, millennium, marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to talk more about these next week. A lot of things the Bible talks about. These things are going to happen. They have their place. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about what's about to come. But he also says, the most important thing is you to be ready. Commit your life to Jesus Christ. Be ready. Be right. Ready. Some things we don't know, but some things we do know will happen. It's both predictable and unpredictable. What are some things we know? The Bible says, look at verse 15, the dead in Christ will rise first. So when Jesus comes back, those who have died previously, they will rise and they will meet the Lord in the air. Again, we read about this in the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I think about this every time I do a graveside funeral. I'm sitting there and trying to encourage the family. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, for me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, I'd rather die and go to heaven, but to live, I can still preach the gospel and share the good news. What we know, the dead in Christ will rise first. The Lord will come down. Look at verse 16. The Lord himself will come down from heaven for where he has been since he ascended in Acts 1:11. The Bible said, look, there goes Jesus, and he's going to come back just like you have seen him go, Acts 1:11. The Bible says in verse 16, there will be a loud command, a voice of authority to awaken those who have fallen asleep. And then it says the archangel will get in the act. Look at verse 16, probably Michael in Jude 9. And don't forget about the trumpet. We worked hard on that all week. Were you ready? Were you ready? When the trumpet sounds, it's too late to get ready. You better be ready. You better commit your life to Jesus Christ before it's too late. You better choose to live, love, and lead like Jesus and put him first. It says we will meet the Lord in the air. The difference in time between the graves emptying, the Bible talks about the bodily resurrection, our bodies will be resurrected, and meeting Jesus in the air, and those of us that are still alive when he comes, that's going to be a pretty brief period of time. Meeting him somewhere in the inner space between heaven and earth, not sure exactly how that's going to happen. It says in verse 17, we will be with the Lord forever. We'll have new bodies incapable of death, new bodies incapable of pain. How many are all about that? That's something to look forward to. We don't know when it will start, but we know Jesus coming back. No one knows the day or the hour, Matthew 24:36. The timing is both predictable and unpredictable. What's predictable is we know that some of these events we talked about are going to happen, but we just don't know when it's going to start. The key thing here all the way through is this one point. Have you made peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ? Friends, there is nothing more important in all the world. You can talk about all sorts of other things, but in many ways, that's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. The end of time is coming, and what we need to do is put all of our effort. That's what this church is all about, putting all our effort in rescuing the perishing and caring for the dying, doing everything we can do here at home and everything around the world to help more and more people come to Christ, to reach children through kids camp, to reach youth through summer camp, to reach out through the summer bash and put on a big party, showering our community with love and food and all of that, in hopes that we can build bridges of faith to people who need to know Jesus. Get involved, pray, reach out, build bridges. If you're here today and you've not committed your life to Jesus, may I humbly request that you just bow your head and just pray, Lord, come into my life. I want to follow you. I want to be ready. When the trumpet sounds, I want to be ready. The third thing that we need to know is that the day of the Lord will be both terrific and horrific. Terrific for the believer, horrific for the unbeliever. I know people don't like to talk about hell, but it's real. Judgment is real. There's no question about it. In chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, it says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The day of the Lord will be the cataclysmic conclusion of all things as we know it. It'll be terrific. God will reward the faithful. It'll be horrific because God will punish the unfaithful. The day of the Lord will come suddenly, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. In the sermon notes that you can find on the app, there's a bunch of scriptures that I encourage you to study in your small groups this week as you delve into this topic. The day of the Lord will be inescapable. Everyone will face the music. The ignorant unbeliever will be surprised. It will be sudden and inevitable, like labor pains for a pregnant woman. Nobody will escape. You can make sure it's terrific for you by making sure you're right with God and you've committed your life and you're living for Christ. And you can help others come to find Jesus by living your life in such a way that you are a living, walking example of Jesus. And when they turn to you and say, tell me a little bit about yourself, you can share a little bit about your faith, like I had the opportunity to do in my neighborhood with a man, a new man I met while I was out walking Rex yesterday. Look for opportunities to share your faith. Time is short. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your kids. Pray for your grandkids. Pray for everybody you can think of that needs Jesus. There is nothing more important in all the world than to be ready and to help other people get ready. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. We need to pray and live like never before. Make sure it's terrific for you. Every week, somebody is committing their life to Jesus Christ at BCA. It's really beautiful to see those commitments being made. It was a few months ago that Eli committed his life to Jesus, and he shares a little bit of his story. Let's watch.
God knows more about what I need than I know about what I want. The first time I came to BCA, it was Christmas, and it was such a beautiful service that, I actually cried during the service several times. The music was really wonderful. I think a lot of the messaging was really incredible. And I just went home with such an immense feeling of gratitude after that service, thinking to myself that I had just received such a beautiful gift to see something so divine reflected back in so many of the, you know, beautiful faces and loving eyes of the people that I saw around me here. My family wasn't aware when I started coming here. I was raised in a religious environment that was sort of austere, that does have a lot of doctrines and dogma, and with that, just kind of a lot of weight attached to it. And then when I left home at a very early age, I was a devout atheist after that. It's hard to tell people that you're Christian if they're used to hearing a different perspective from you. If you come out to people and you say, hey, I'm Christian, I think you're doing something that takes some bravery. I think Jesus says at one point, my yoke is very light. And that was a phrase that I heard early on in my experience at BCA. And the gift of salvation and forgiveness, part of what I experienced through that was my baptism here. It was the first time in my life that I'd ever been baptized. And I left that experience with a really indescribable feeling of lightness. I felt like atoning for my sins wasn't this dark, brooding, negative experience with really negative emotions. It was, wow, we've been given this gift, and we are celebrating that we've received this gift with a lot of joyousness. Was really incredible just to be able to say, I am really sorry, and then to feel like I left here as being forgiven was incredible. I initially used to think that, you know, I'm plenty humble because I was raised in an environment where religious humility is basically the act of self-effacement. So my journey of humility took me from kind of understanding it as a very self-effacing, debasing way to live, to a way that sort of recognizes that I'm trying to follow a thread that is laid out by God. And to me, the journey of humility took me towards the lesson that it's not about debasing myself, but it is about recognizing that God knows more about what I need than I know about what I want.
Would you thank Eli for sharing his story? Every one of us have a story. What's your story? You may be here and you may have recently committed your life to Christ, or maybe you did 50 years ago. Maybe you're kicking the tires of faith here this morning, like when Eli first came at Christmas Sunday, and you're trying to learn. May I encourage you with this truth that Jesus loves you more than you'll ever know. When you open your heart and invite him in, he forgives you of your sin. He promises to live in you, walk beside you, walk before you, walk behind you, walk closer than anyone you could ever imagine. Jesus loves you. The fourth thing we need to know is that the rapture of the saints could happen both today or tomorrow. Paul gives six vitally important commands in verses 4 through 11 in this passage we're studying here today. And I want to hit these real quickly. We don't have time to spend on them too much. But the first is to be ready and waiting. Expect, anticipate Christ's return. Verse 4 says, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that the day should surprise you like a thief." You're living in the light. You know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So don't be surprised. He's coming. But be aware that he's coming. And reach out far and wide and tell others. Live righteous lives, he says here. You who are children of the light and children of the day, we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We are part of the light. We're to forsake compromise. We're to live holy and godly lives. The goal for us is not to get as close to the line of compromise, but as far from the line. We don't want these words on the wall just to be empty words on the wall at our church. We want these to be emblazoned in the spirit of our souls. Lord, we want to live like you, love like you, lead like you, so other people will see Jesus in us and find their way to faith, just like Eli found his way to faith. Live righteous lives. Be alert and controlled. Let us not be like others who are asleep spiritually, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and for those who get drunk at night. He's making a distinction between those who are believing and those who are asleep spiritually, dead spiritually. There's no time for apathy. There's no time for lethargy. There's no time for sitting on our hands. We need to be all about living Christ, knowing Christ, and making Christ known to other people. Time is short. Be full of faith, love, and hope, he says. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and hope of salvation as a helmet. Faith in Christ, knowing Jesus, living by his word, will sustain us. Love, having the love of Christ in us and flowing through us, will propel us, will want to do more to help others come to know Jesus. Hope will compel us. Hope will compel us to share the good news. I remember a lady in one of the villages on the eastern side of Portugal. It was a very depressing environment, a very despairing-looking town, village. I remember this lady, older lady, that was standing out on her porch, probably middle of the day. She looked as hopeless as anybody I've seen in a long time. And I found myself just really broken, not just for her, but many others like her, and not just in Portugal, but all around the world, and even right in our own community. When you don't have hope, everything begins to disintegrate. When you don't have hope, everything begins to fall apart. People need hope. We can show them hope. We can give them hope through Jesus. It says here, rejoice in your salvation. Verse 9 and 10, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. If you're a believer today and you've received the salvation of God, give him praise. Thank him for salvation that is full and free. If you do not know Christ, become a Christian today. Give your life to him. Life is short. If you know Christ, when this life is over, you go to heaven. If not, you don't. Encourage one another. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as fact you are doing. That is why we gather as a church, to encourage one another. Let's keep going. Let's keep fighting. Let's keep reaching. Let's keep building. Let's keep praying. Let's keep serving. Let's keep following the Bible. Let's keep living, loving, leading like Jesus Christ. That's why we come to church. That's why we get into ministries together. That's why we join small groups together, to encourage each other to live the good life and fight the good fight. And hopefully help more and more people find their way to Jesus. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Would you bow your heads? Lord, there's so much in the Bible that reminds us that your coming is near. We don't have forever to sit on our hands and wait. We need to get serious about the work of the Lord. That doesn't imply that we're not serious, but it does imply that time is short. And we need to be ready ourselves and help double our efforts in helping other people get ready. That's why as a church, Lord, we are just so connected to your heart when it comes to reaching out any and every way we possibly can. As we said during Missions Week, we can't do everything, but we've got to do everything we can. We need to reach far and wide. We need to reach in and through. We need to do everything we can to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and let them know that Jesus is merciful and Jesus will save. It breaks my heart, God, to realize that there are people in our own community, not to mention communities all around the world, that still don't know Jesus loves them. They still don't know that hope is found in Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, we don't have the hope of eternal life. Without Jesus, we don't have the hope of sins forgiven. Without Jesus, we are undone. Jesus is the first, Jesus is the last, and Jesus is everything in between. And I pray, God, that you'll minister to everybody that's within the sound of my voice right now. May we all ready ourselves for the second coming of Jesus Christ, knowing that heaven is just around the corner. And may we live every day of our life in the shadow of the second coming, knowing that Jesus could come imminently. It may be a day, it may be a week, it may be a month, it might be a year, but he could come at any moment. And the most important thing is, am I ready, and am I doing everything I possibly can to help others get ready? If you're here today and you'd like to commit your life to Jesus, again, may I invite you to pray a prayer like this. Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. I want to be a Christian, a Christ follower. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to blow it from time to time, but I know that you'll forgive me and help me get stronger. Help me read and understand your Bible and put it into practice. I commit my life to you today. I want to follow you the rest of my life. If you pray a prayer like that, would you tell me about it on that connection card? Would you determine to take the next step, and that is to be water baptized? And would you take a very, very important step beyond that, and that is join our basic Christian beliefs class, where you begin to study the basic foundations of Scripture. In fact, friends, if you are a believer and you know someone who's newer in their faith, I invite you to reach out to them and take them to the BCB class and walk with them as they learn and grow in their faith. May your blessing be on each and every person here today, Lord. And may your blessing rest on BCA as we seek to be the lighthouse you've called us to be, both at home and around the world. In Christ's name we pray.